It is always a privilege to bring the Word of God to you, and it's great to have you connect with us. Billy Graham said this. He said, "It's the world's bestseller," speaking of the Bible. "Yet this book, for the past 200 years, has been under increased attack. Many people, even within the church, have come to doubt whether the Bible is authoritative and trustworthy. When you talk about the Bible, someone will allege bibliolatry," in other words, worshiping the Bible, "and not Christ of the Bible. No, this is not bibliolatry. The only knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ is in the Bible. Today, there's a growing movement to do away with the Bible, and if this movement succeeds, anarchy will rule. This generation must face the appalling fact that it's either the Bible or back to chaos, because that's exactly what will happen." Voltaire, famous French philosopher, 1694, once declared, "In 100 years, the Bible will be a forgotten and unknown book." 100 years later, the Geneva Bible Society occupied his home. That's right. That's right. God has a sense of humor. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. As I was meditating on today and you know, the thought of setting your sails, you know, I spoke about it in the beginning of this year, the last couple of weeks. I spoke about the fact that we need to set our sails, turn into the wind, grab a hold of the rudder, which is the Word of God, and use balance. And let's get on with our life in 2021. And that's really what I believe that God wants us to take away from some of these messages. But I've been actually going a little deeper into each one of those things. So last week I talked about, you know, in order to set your sails, you've got to turn your boat into the wind. You've got to listen in. Remember that? I said turn in to Him. And remember, we mentioned out of James, it says, "Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you." But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see in verse 17, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known," look at what verse 15 says, "the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." Verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," or woman of God, "may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Wow. What a word that we need in our world and in the church today. That we would keep our hand on the rudder. That's the first point today. Remember, going back to my sailing story. Learning to sail a one-man sailboat. Being caught in the mangroves, stuck in the mud, right? Not knowing how to operate the boat, but hearing the sail instructor from the dock yelling what to do next. One of the instructions that he yelled to me across the waterway was, "Put your hand on the rudder. Turn the boat into the wind." The rudder, I believe, represents, in my sermon illustration today, the Word of God. You need something that's going to give you direction and help you navigate the storms of life. help you navigate the winds and understand the rough seas that maybe you're encountering in your personal life. It could be an economic thing. It could be a family relational thing. It could be a health issue that winds blow against your boat and you don't want to end up in the mangroves. I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, put your hand on the rudder. So you got to put your hand on the rudder. And today I'm actually reading out of my real Bible. And I think it's important that every now and then you should go back to a real book. Put your hand on the rudder. Get a hold of a real Bible. Really. I work for a technology company. I understand how easy it is. I've got the Bible app on everything I own. You know how easy it is just to look up that scripture. But you know how lazy we get? Got quiet. I mean, what happens if one day the internet shuts down and you can't get your little Bible that's on your device? Put your hand on the rudder. Now, 2 Timothy tells us in verse 14, continue in those things that you have learned. Continue in them. So why do we need to continue in those things? I believe the answer, we're going to come back here, so keep your finger, if you have a real Bible, in 2 Timothy 3. But turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, we began this series out in 2 Peter. And what I love about, some of these scriptures, they remind us of the importance of God's Word. They remind us of the importance of what God wants us to understand about His Word. Why is His Word so important? The word that I gave you to start off this sermon with Billy Graham was that this is how we know Jesus. It's the only document that we have that actually talks about Jesus. Anything else is just speculation, myth, or somebody just kind of making up stuff. If you really want to know what Jesus is about, you've got to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And see what he was about. Now, notice what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says. It says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of who? Jesus. Through our knowledge of Him, we've got to get to know Him. And it says, through our knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Who called us by glory and virtue. Now that passage goes on to say, make every effort to add to your faith. How do you add to your faith? Well, you've got to study. You've got to find out what does the Word of God say. Now go back here to 2 Timothy. Notice what it said in verse 15. It said that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on to tell, he connects that thought in verse 16, and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration. That word in the Greek language is theopneustos. Big word. Greek language, right? You go, I don't know, what does that mean? God breathed. The breath of God. It goes back to Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And it goes back to when God breathed into Adam His breath. That's how important the Word of God is. It is God breathed. It's God breathed. He breathed it. And so when 2 Peter 1 says you have everything you need, and then we go back over here to 2 Timothy 3, and it says from childhood he's speaking to Timothy. He says, you've known the scriptures. They make you wise to salvation. When you ignore the Bible and you just go with philosophy, you will end up empty. I had a friend, a pastor friend, very successful pastor. And he said for several years they just went with more of what's known as, in the world, known as a more of a feel-good message. And so he said that they kind of went that direction. Their church was already pretty large, and they kind of went in the almost like pop psychology direction. We're just going to just talk really nice thoughts and get everybody excited about nice thoughts of improving. And he said they did this for about a year, and then one morning the Lord woke him up and he realized how dry and empty it was. What was missing? Theopneustos. The God breath was missing in their services because all they were doing was just self-help, how you can be better, think better, talk better, act better. Oh, great. There is something about the Word of God that makes you wise unto salvation. Back to my sailing illustration. There were moments when I was learning how to sail. It was terrible. I did not look like I knew what I was doing. I mean, I was getting hit in the head with the boom. The wind was blowing me around. At one point, I was so busy hanging on to ropes and trying to figure things out that, remember I told you I ended up in the mangroves. I let go of the rudder. If you let go of the rudder, I got news for you. Even if you caught the wind and you start going in the right direction, when you let go of the rudder, you will start going in circles. And you will go nowhere. When you let go, there's nothing steering. Your commitment to hanging on to the truths of God will keep you from being in the mangroves. It'll keep you out of the stink. Now, I don't remember if I told you, mangrove swamps stink because they are rotting. There's mud there. Things die. It's not where fresh water flows. It's where things get caught in the thicket. It's where sediment builds up. They call the mangrove the island builder, because things kind of get caught under the roots of the mangrove tree. It doesn't smell good. When you're not keeping your life attached to the Word of God and you let go of the rudder, you could end up in a place that smells. You could end up in not a very, you know, good place. Say, keep your hand on the rudder. You see, we have everything we need, but then keep going. We're here. All scripture given by inspiration. I love what verse 17 says. Verse 17 says this. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Now that word thoroughly equipped, that is actually a word that has to do with shipping and boating. I thought that was kind of cool. It actually has the connotation of a fully loaded, fully supplied ship with everything that you need on the inside of it. Now, doesn't that confirm what we just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, that you've been given everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Him? Hanging on to the Word of God in the middle of a tough sea can be difficult. When you start have waves crashing over the bow, when you have things that are happening and you're being blown about and you're hitting strong currents, which can happen, if you don't hang on to that rudder, you'll end up in circles or worse, shipwrecked. Hang on to the rudder. Say, hang on to the rudder. All right. So, let's go back up to verse 16. It says, it's been given by inspiration. We said that word was theopneustos. That word is God-breathed. And it is profitable for. It's profitable 4. That word profitable is ophelos. It means helpful, advantageous. It's profitable. That's why it gets translated profitable in the English language. So it's helpful, serviceable, advantageous. How many would love to have an advantage in this day and age? You need an advantage, don't you? It's right here. It's right here. Keep your hand on the rudder. There is an advantage of keeping your hand on the rudder. That means keeping it close to you. Keeping it close to you. I said last week that, you know, you don't have to start with doing, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to read, you know, 18 chapters a day. One word from God could change your day. One verse of the day can help set the tone for that day and help you the rest of the day. You know, I love the book of Proverbs. I was thinking about that. I was driving down here today. You know, you've got 31 chapters in Proverbs, right? There's one for each day. You could go through the chapters of Proverbs, and you could literally see the wisdom of God that crosses centuries, that crosses the millennium. Why? Because God's word supersedes culture. It supersedes anything that's going on around us. And it can cut right through it. It goes back to the heart of mankind. Now, the next word there that we see, why is it profitable? Why is it profitable? Well, we see that it is for instruction. That word for instruction, it says here, it says profitable, right? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, some of the words, the Greek words, instruction, diakolos, has to do with teaching or doctrine. Teaching is doctrine. Doctrine is not bad. I've heard Christians say, oh, I don't want any doctrine. You need teaching in order for you to understand some things. You say, but I don't want any man-made doctrine. Okay, then go back to the Word and see that the Word actually teaches doctrine, teaches good things for your life, how to function as a Christian. Why? Why doctrine? Well, why? Because you need to have a foundation. The Word came to me today as I was meditating on that. I got up this morning and I was praying about what I would share with you today, and the Word came to me, true north. The word true north came to me. And I started thinking about what that is, true north. True north is the exact GPS, if you will, coordinate of being exactly north. The Word of God will give you that kind of direction, true north in your life. It will be a compass. It will be a guide. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives you direction like a rudder, keeps you on track when you are sailing. All right? What's the other word? What are some of these other words that the Apostle Paul throws out here? He says it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction. Now that's interesting. For correction, that is egleko. It's proof, correction, conviction, evidence. It's a compound word, get this. It means to straighten up. Now if you're from the South, sometimes you'll hear a father sternly sometimes look at their son and go, straighten up, young man. What does that mean? That means you've just been corrected. Straighten up. Straighten up. The Word of God will straighten us up and get us back on track when our thinking kind of gets out of line. When our thinking gets out of bounds. When we let go of the rudder. If you go and start reading the Word again, then you'll be able to keep going. It's to straighten up. Another one is that it is not only correction, but for instruction in righteousness. instruction in righteousness. It teaches you what it means to be right with God. Now, you've heard me say that once you've been born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. There is a supernatural event that happens to each one of us when we have gotten born again. When we've received Christ into our life, there is a transformation. The Bible tells us that we have been made new, that the old things have passed away. The old things, but we still need mind renewal. We still need to start thinking our thoughts God's way. Well, how are we going to do that? The Word is going to help get our thinking into line and actually teach us. It will teach us, it will correct us, and it will give us instruction in righteousness. That word is tutelage, if you will. It's education. It's disciplinary correction. It's chastening. Sometimes it's nurturing. Sometimes it's instructional. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What is that? That's instruction. So when you read it, you go, oh, I got that. Maybe I don't have that. Maybe I need to work on that. You see what I'm saying? The Word will check you. The Word will adjust you. You know, when you get to know sailing a little bit, you'll also feel the wind, and you'll know what direction you need to go in, and you're hanging onto that rudder. You can feel the tension. You can feel there's a tension. There is a tension between the world's culture, the world's way of doing things, and the Word of God. And that tension will always be there. It will always be there. Because the standard is here. And when you let go of the rudder, it's going in circles. There's no direction. And you'll end up in the mangrove swamp. Say, put your hand on the rudder. All right, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. When you put your hand on the rudder, you've got a destination in mind. Our destination needs to be fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We were talking about that. We were singing about that today. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Jesus. How are you going to find him? The Word. You're going to find him here. You're going to find the words that you need to live your life and to do it with, I mean, when you learn the art of sailing and setting your sails for 2021, you will learn that there's a joy, even in the middle of when the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing, your boat is headed in the right direction. Next week, we're going to talk about balance and why balance is so important, not to get extremes on one way or another, but to stay right ahead, because it goes right to this verse. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to Jesus for the answers to your questions, and you will make it. You will not end up in the mangrove swamp. Right? You don't want to end up there. It's not a fun place. But if you do, don't be condemned. Just listen to the instructor on the sidelines who's saying, hey, put your hand on the rudder. Turn your boat into the wind. Okay, you got that? Hey, Doug, you got that? Just turn it in the wind. Oh, yeah, okay, grab the rope. Okay, yeah. I can vividly remember that day. And he's yelling across the intercoastal waterway, and he got me out of the thicket. He got me out of the mangrove swamp. And he got me right in the middle of the channel having a blast. And I'm telling you, 2021 can be that way for you, regardless of what the enemy, the world, they can all shake around you. But you can have a blast hanging on to the Word of God and sailing across the waves that are trying to crash you, that are trying to get you off task. The distractions that come against each one of us every single day. If you don't think that we as pastors don't have them, I'm telling you, we do. They come and they try to distract us. They try to get our attention. They try to get us to let go of the Word of God. They try to get us to just be in our own thinking. But when we settle ourselves, center ourselves, grab that rudder and say, no, but the Word of God says this. This is what I'm going to go with. This is what I'm going to go with. It will last the test of time. I'm telling you, the Word of God cuts across everything that comes against your life, in your health, in your finances. If you don't think that God has something to say, this book has things to say about money that'll blow your mind if you've never studied it. It'll have things to say about relationships, even things like gossip. Yeah. Even things like controlling your tongue. It's in here. It's in here. And yet, I find it interesting. The world doesn't want to hear anything from here. That's an old book. Listen, I think it's good to learn things and to improve yourself. But the answer to your salvation is never going to be in a TED Talk. It's not. There's going to be some really good things you might learn about business, about life, about self-improvement. Great things. As long as you got this and filter everything through this, you're going to be all right. You can grab things from this, here, and there, and you can learn. You can learn. We do, and it's a good thing. Improve yourself in 2021. I'm reading a secular book right now. It's not a sin to read a secular book. I want to know some insights on some things. What am I going to do? I'm going to read that book. And I'm going to put it up against this. And I'm going to say, okay, God, there's some truths there. There's some truths here. There's some truths there. But this is really truth. You got it? Keep your hand on the rudder. Let's stand at our feet. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Fix our eyes on the destination. We want to go for God. We want to go for Jesus. He's awesome, isn't he? Amen. He's got awesome plans for you. Great plans. They start with a relationship with him. It's real simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this. If you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. But what does that exactly mean? It just means, do you believe in your heart that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead? And will you confess him? Will you make him the Lord of your life? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about church membership. We're not talking about confirmation. Those are all, you know, wonderful things. But I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're at home and you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're going to recommit your life to him because you've been kind of stuck in the mangroves doing your own thing. And today, you would say, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to make sure he's my Lord and my Savior. If that's you right now and you want to either accept Jesus or you want to recommit your life, I want you to either raise your hand, or if you're at home, just let us know. That send us a message. Say, yeah, I want to recommit my life. I want to serve God. And would you just pray a simple prayer of rededication and just making sure that you know him. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he rose from the dead for me. I accept his forgiveness, and I choose this day to make him my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to send you something. We'd like to give you something. If you need encouragement or you'd like to know a little bit more about how to walk your life out with Christ, we'd like to help you out with that and give you some tools, some things to help you with. We'd like to pray for you, encourage you. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you'd like special prayer for healing, we believe in the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Speaking in tongues, praying with other tongues, those are all manifestations of the Spirit of God. We believe that God's gifts are for the church today to be empowered in the name of Jesus. So if you want to know more about that, message us, talk to us. We've got prayer partners that will be available after church. I'll make myself available as well. And we want to be there for you, to be able to be an encouragement for you, whether you're here in person or online. Let us know so that we can minister to you as Westchester Family Church. As we close with our sending out verse, I want you just to think about how you can put this message in practice this week. How can you do that? It's real easy. You just got to open the book. And I encourage you, go find a real Bible. That's your assignment. Go find a real Bible, not just an electronic one, and open it up this week. And just open it up. And just start reading about Jesus. That's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Just open it up and just read some verses and say, show me who you are, Jesus. And you'll be glad that you did this week, all right? The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Join us at